Welcome to the Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church.
Well, welcome to Keys of the Kingdom. I'm Brother Gregory, and we're going to talk about the Kingdom of God. And I think this show is going to be interesting. You know, I make minor preparations for the show itself. Sometimes I pick a particular topic that will always lead us into the kingdom. I'm kind of a funny guy. I've dedicated my whole life to this single message of the gospel of the kingdom. I am completely different than many pastors or ministers. The message that Jesus Christ was bringing was life-altering message, and it's not what you're hearing in your modern churches. In some cases, you're actually hearing the absolute opposite of what Christ taught, said, appointed, and told us to appoint and direct and to establish and to edify. But you wouldn't know it because they're actually quoting Jesus to get you to do the opposite of what Jesus said to do. Now, when you go up and you show people right in the text that Jesus said, do this, not do that, not do that, you show them in historical documents of the time exactly what he was talking about, you get an incredulous attitude that it can't be because I would be wrong in what I'm already thinking. And the problem is that most people are wrong in what they're thinking. I was wrong. Of course, I was taught what was wrong. You were taught what was wrong. Everybody's being taught what's wrong. And that's why you have items in the news going on all the time, and shocking events in society, and you're yet supposedly a Christian society. The United States, Australia, England, these were Christian nations at one time. France, Italy, or whatever that means, Christian nation. But the reality is most of our history, and it's not even being taught today in schools. You now have social studies. You don't have history. I actually have a sister who's a teacher. She was telling me about the curriculum as they haven't been teaching social studies in the school where she works. They're going to reintroduce social studies. And of course, social studies is just watered down history. And what little history is being taught is something out of 1984. It's just not true. And if you go and you try to study the history at the time of Jesus Christ, you haven't got a clue what was going on then. Like I point out, I mean, it's just absolutely astounding. It was tried to suppress the information for years because it was coming out in things like the Dead Sea Scrolls, but it's been around for even longer if you look at the huge fabric evidence in history of the pieces of historical documents that have survived after 2,000 years, we understand that there was a vast system of social welfare that expanded tremendously under Augustus Caesar, who was the emperor of Rome, the commander-in-chief, that's what emperor means, of Rome, this heavily influential nation that was sending peacekeeping forces all over the known world and establishing the Pax Romana. He had expanded their system of social welfare where you signed up and then you were eligible. You would have a tessera or some sort of little clay tablet or coin to identify you as a recipient of the welfare of Rome. And that was your EBT card back then. And it worked really well for a while. Of course, Augustus was able to fund a great deal of this out of the fact that he had annihilated the opposition to his imperial power with the military might of his army and confiscated all their property and lands. And he was taxing people all over the world. And industriously, the Romans were amazing people, very efficient. They had done what nobody had really done in known history that was well studied at that time, and most of us are oblivious of. But they were remarkable people, but they had set up this system of social welfare. They had gone to Judea under Pompey, invited there, not conquerors, invited there as peacekeeping forces, had become extremely influential there. Pretty much whoever they supported as king would end up being king, such as Herod the Great. And Herod the Great, of course, was doing things like Augustus. He was setting up a social welfare system. You got baptized and you got registered by the scribes, and then you were eligible for this social welfare system. Now, anybody who does a thorough study of history knows that the Romans called their welfare system Corban. They spell it with a Q, O-R-B-A-N. The Judeans had a system of Corban, and it was spelled with Kuf, Resh, Biet, Nun, which we transliterate as Corban. And Jesus said, the Corban of the Pharisees made the word of God to none effect. Well, the Corban of the Pharisees was modeled after the Corban of Rome. And your Corban today is modeled after those systems. That is so simple and clear, it just smacks you right in the face. That the very system of social welfare, which is what Corban was, set up by signing in to a system where you all have one purse and somebody has the authority to take money out of your pocket, because you all have one purse, so they can take money out of your pocket and they can redistribute that money. They have the power to redistribute that money, those funds, whatever it is, to wherever they wish, according to statutory requirements that they can change at will. And that was the system of Corban, of the Pharisees, of Rome, that was making the word of God to none effect, which is why the Christians were persecuted, because the Christians would have nothing to do with that system. Today, in every single church you know, except for His Holy Church, which is the church established by Christ. I didn't establish it. I'm just trying to conform to it. It's not a corporate entity. It's not registered with anybody except Christ. He's the one that lets you in. He's the one that lets you out. He's the one that accepts you. And He's the one that says, part from me, you workers of iniquity. He set it up 2,000 years ago, and it's defined in Black's Law dictionaries, established by Jesus Christ. It's just that all your churches out there, your Protestant churches, your Catholic churches, they're not conforming to Christ. They're conforming to the doctrines and dogmas and thinking of people who come along with damnable heresies, crept into your thinking and said, oh, you don't have to worry about any of that. We'll just put that over here behind the curtain so you don't even look at that. And see, that's one of the things. That's why for 50 years almost, they suppressed the Dead Sea Scrolls. Both Jews and Roman Catholic were suppressing the Dead Sea Scrolls so that you didn't know what it says. And now books have come out and they're explaining it. But the problem is people don't really know history. They don't know law. And they haven't made the connection in their minds. They know that Herod set up a system of social welfare, that where you signed up, where you had to pay in. And they know that's the way he was doing it. And we know that Jesus said that the Corban of the Pharisees, which was the system, was making the word of God to none effect. And it ended up so that you said, well, I don't have to take care of my parents anymore because I have given at the altar. What did he mean? He meant he had paid his Social Security. I pay into Social Security. They have to take care of my parents. Not only that, but they're going to have to take care of me. But Jesus warned that thieves and robbers were going to break in, and moths, whatever that means, was going to eat it up, your treasure. And of course, that's what's happened in America today. That's what's happened in Australia today. That's what's happened in New Zealand today. That's what's happened in Canada and England and France and all these countries. What you had on deposit for your social welfare is gone. It's empty. There's nothing there but notes. You're in debt. And every time you take a benefit of any type from these systems, you have to show your registered number in order to get those benefits. You curse your children. And the Bible says you will end up doing that in the New Testament. That because of your wantonness, you're going to curse your children. Because of your covetousness, you're going to be made merchandise. You're going to be made surety for debt, collateral for debt. You've done that. That's where you're at. But you go to your churches and you sing and you say you believe in Jesus, but you're making the word of God to none effect. Now, that's the whole gospel right there. And all I'm doing is coming along and saying, make straight the way of the Lord. And you're not doing it. You're not making straight the way of the Lord. What's the deal? Why aren't you doing it? How do you do it? What are you going to do to make straight the way of the Lord? How are you going to set that up, that you make straight the way of the Lord? How are you going to make that happen? How are you going to become the welfare system of Christ? You know, it's amazing, actually, in this country, in America, 200 years ago, that's how it worked. You went to a congregation, a free assembly. You helped others out, and then you hoped that they would be there to help you out. That's what it meant to live by faith, hope, and charity. And if you had a need, somebody would help you out. And they did. There was no need for welfare. You know, this is why the church is impotent. It's not doing what Christ said. It should be impotent. It's done castrated itself. It's sterilized its own being. You know, why are you so surprised at the corruption you see all around you? Why are you so surprised to see that your economic system is crumbling as we speak? Why you're robbed daily by inflation? You should be robbed. And when you pray to God, He shouldn't hear you, because you haven't been doing what God said to do, what Christ said to do, what Moses was doing, what Abraham said. You are not doing it. You Jews, you Muslims, you Catholics, you Protestants, you whatever, even you Buddhists, you're not taking care of one another through faith, hope, and charity. You don't love your neighbor. You covet your neighbor's goods through the agency of men who exercise authority one over the other, even though Jesus said it was not to be that way with you. You couldn't be farther from the gospel if I chased you off with a stick. So how do you get back? You have to start trusting one another. You know, in the Bible, I was trying to pull up my online Bible. For some reason or other, it's not functioning. So I can't pull up the quote. But there's a place in there, in the New Testament, where it talks about preaching the gospel to every creature. And that word creature there, I mean, are we supposed to go out to the goldfish and preach the gospel? Well, actually, we should. But you don't need to tell them anything. You need to be the gospel like a candle shines light. The candle's not the light, but because the candle is on fire, it gives off light. And if you were on fire with the gospel of Jesus Christ, you just should be on fire and producing the light of Jesus Christ wherever you go, and even the goldfish would know. But that's not what it means to preach to every creature. The word there for creature is also the word for institutions, creations of men. And of course, that's what Paul was doing when he went into Corinth. He was actually talking with the treasurer of Corinth, saying, this is how you should fill your treasury. Do free will offerings by people who love one another and live in faith, hope, and charity. And when there is a need, they help one another. And if there's a greater need, you donate more. But the power, the right, the exousia to choose is in the hands of every man. Well, you know, if you did that, you know what you'd have? Chaos. You'd have anarchy. Now, anarchy and chaos are not synonymous terms. You don't have to have chaos because you have anarchy. But if you have people who do not have the light of Christ living in them, you will have chaos. If you have a situation where there is no archy, no exercising authority. So you need that exercising authority because most people do not have the light of Christ living in them. Oh, they want to think they do, but they don't. They're backbiters. They're liars. They're deceivers. They say they'll do something and then they don't. You know, and Christ says, oh, who is my son? Who is the rightful son of the two sons? The one who went and did it, or the one who said he was going to do it but didn't? You see, that's the thing. You have to be a doer not only of Christ's word, but of your own word. And you'll find out pretty quick who's the doers of their word. Those who, when they say they're going to do something, they do it. You'll find out. Because those who say they're going to do it and don't do it, you'll know, well, they're not really doers. They're doers when it's convenient, but when it's difficult, they don't strive. They don't persevere. And that's okay. They just need to learn. But you won't depend on them. You'll depend on those who show up and do what they say. Even when it hurts, even when it's difficult, even when it's exhausting, they keep at it. They don't put down their cross and go do something else. They keep doing it. I hear people who've come and read on the website, they read the books, and then they get preoccupied with life. Jesus has a whole parable about that. And the world swallows them up and strangles them. You know, he talks about the different seed. You know, these are the ones that they don't get rooted, and they dry up. And then, of course, there's the crows who come and say, hey, don't do this. Join our system. Join our system. Don't worry about that. Just take the benefit. It's free. Free education. Free health care. Caw, caw. Crows and ravens. They eat you up. They get you out and they eat you up. But you keep going for it. But there are some seeds that root deep and grow and are strong and persevere and strive. And that's your choice, which one you want to be. So how do you create these institutions of man for the purposes of Christ? How do you preach the gospel to an institution? Well, how does the world preach its system? It says, come, you get it for free. So I would imagine that the gospel of Christ says, no, your institutions don't say you'll get it for free. You only get it if you sacrifice, you see, because you have to come to serve. So your institutions have to give you the chance to serve. Then you get the chance to be responsible. And then you get the chance to receive the benefit. No responsibility, no benefit. No taking on the burden. No one's going to help you with your burden. That's the way it works in the kingdom. Now in the world, you join up. You know, I remember when my son, my oldest son was years ago, almost half a century ago, my oldest son was just a little boy. He asked me what welfare was. And I said, well, if you don't work and you don't have a job, then the government will give you money. And they'll give you food or money for food so that you won't go hungry. And he says, well, what's taxes? And he's just a little tiny kid. He's just really little. I mean, he hadn't been to school or anything. Of course, he never went to school. He's home taught. But he says, well, what's taxes? And he says, well, if you do work and you have a job and you earn money, the government will come and take some of that money away. He says, that doesn't seem right. You don't work, they give you money. If you do work, they take it away. I says, well, yeah, but if they would agree, I would agree. But they don't agree. They think that's a good thing. Jesus says it makes the word of God to none effect. Does that mean you don't take care of the poor? No, you do it with free will offerings, like Moses said. You see, all the people who say they're Jews, they're no more Jews than the Christians who say they're Christians. They don't live like Moses. They don't operate Israel over there in the Middle East, that nation that calls itself Israel. They don't operate that according to Moses. And they don't speak French in Paris, Texas. That's just the way it is. They just call themselves Paris, but that's Paris, Texas. They don't speak French there. They don't have the Seine River. They don't have the Notre Dame Cathedral. They don't have those things in Paris, Texas. I think they got a little Eiffel Tower, but it's really little. It's not very big. But that's the way this world is, that you call it something. You say, well, I'm a Christian. No, you're not. You can only be a Christian if you're doing what Christ said. You're not doing it. You're doing what he said not to do. So when we come back, we're going to talk about how do you do what he said to do? Because that's what you really need to know. We'll be right back. The Keys of the Kingdom.
My name is Mark and I'm from Melbourne in Australia, and I'm a minister in the church established by Jesus Christ more than 2,000 years ago. After reading the books published at hisholychurch.org, I realised that mainstream Christianity had taken a wrong turn by forgetting what Jesus said to do, to practice pure religion while remaining unspotted from the world. What does this mean and how is this done exactly? You'll find out when you go to hisholychurch.org and discover what it truly means to love God and your neighbour as much as yourself. Join the Living Network at hisholychurch.org.
Have you ever looked at the things happening in the world today and felt that something just wasn't right, but couldn't put your finger on it? Have you ever heard the phrase, God bless America, and wondered to yourself, does he really? Or have you ever looked at the government's policies on things such as abortion or same-sex marriage and asked yourself, how could they? Or where are all the Christians voicing their outrage? These are hard questions that many people today ask themselves. But along with those hard questions come some very hard answers. Answers that you may never heard before, but nonetheless will answer these and other questions you may have. So if you're looking for answers, join us at hisholychurch.org. It's not what you might think, and it will open the heart and mind to a whole other world that you never even knew existed. It did for me and many others. I know it will for you as well. So join us as we seek the kingdom of God and His righteousness at hisholychurch.org.
The Creator is the God of the living, not the God of the dead. His kingdom was, is, and will be forever on earth as it is in heaven. Start by connecting and finding other kingdom-seeking families on the His Holy Church Living Network. Visit www.hisholychurch.org to start your journey back to your unalienable birthright.
I'm Brother Justice, and I'm a minister of His Holy Church of Sacramento, California. His Holy Church is a powerful weapon in the hands of God. The books, The Covenants of the Gods, and Thy Kingdom Come has changed the course of my life forever. For those of you who are truly looking for the way, I encourage you to look to His Holy Church at www.hisholychurch.org. May the good Lord bless you and keep you.
Hi, I'm Brent. I'm a contact minister for the Living Network in Northeast Missouri. You're not the only one out there with the desire to learn the truth. There are people all over the world coming together in faith, hope, and charity. Join us at one of the upcoming gatherings to meet new people, fellowship, work, and play. Whether it's the Fall Burning Bush Festival in Oregon or the Spring Gathering in Northeast Missouri, you'll get all the details when you join the Living Network. Go to hisholychurch.org and click on the network link. Find out what you've been missing. You'll be glad you did.
Things seem to be going wrong in the world today. Every aspect of our life seems to be under attack sometimes. Many struggle to make sense out of it. What is really going on? Identifying the problem is critical to any solution. Many people claim to have answers. But what is the truth? What works? What has worked in the past? History does repeat itself, and you must learn from it. You have choices. We cannot change the course of history, but we may change our role in it. All roads lead to Rome. All roads lead to the kingdom of God. The question is, which way are you going? Join us to make sense out of it all for an iconoclastic look at the world yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And hear about the keys of the kingdom.
Well, welcome back to Keys of the Kingdom. So, how do you preach the gospel to every creation, every creature, every creation of man, to every institution of man? Well, like I said, Paul was talking to the treasurer of Corinth, and he was saying you need to operate by free will offerings. And that's very interesting, because if you go back to the Peloponnesian Wars, Romans or Greeks were thinking of numerous different ways in which to operate their society. The Greek city-states did not all operate the same. Today we see shows about the Spartans. Oh, these freedom fighters, the Spartans. Spartans were a bunch of ruthless, murdering Nazis. They had courage, yeah. They were well organized when they came to battle. They had, you know, but courage is not the only virtue. You know, there's courage in hell. They're very gutsy fighters in hell. They're also a bunch of sneaky son of a guns too, but they are not without courage in hell. So courage by itself is not enough. They oppressed most of their society horribly oppressed them, murdered them, killed them, betrayed them on a regular basis. The Spartans, they were very loyal to the Spartans, but most of their society, the people who did most of the work, the people who, you know, plowed the fields, they were an abject servitude in a system of corvi, where they belonged to the Spartans, and if anybody stepped out of line, they got their throat slit. Spartans had to rely upon these people. One time when they were outnumbered by an overwhelming foe, so they taught many of the, they took the best of these farmers and tradesmen, their young men, and taught them the arts of war. They armed them and taught them how to fight in battle, treated them really well, taught them how to be an army, and then they fought the enemy, and they won, and they invited them all up to a ceremony where they were going to be rewarded for their efforts. And they dressed them in white robes and brought them up to their temple mount. And then they slaughtered every single one of them, killed them, stamped out the possibility of revolution. They didn't couldn't have these people being free. These people had to work so that we could run around and play army. That's your Spartan. Go make a movie about that. No, that doesn't sell pictures. Well, sorry. Truth sometimes just doesn't sell very good. But they had other groups of Greek city-states. They had very democratic groups. They had systems of common purse. You know, everybody's gold really belonged to the state. You know, Spartans did that. It was against the law in Sparta to own gold. All their money was made out of lead. They knew that gold in the hands of the people is the enemy of the state. They don't want you to have any sort of finances where you might have money that's worth something. They want to be able to jerk the value of your money around. They want, the money is power. Money's not evil. It's the love of money is evil. Money's just a commodity where you can exchange, you know. I mean, you can use sheep as money. You can use sacks of grain as money. You can use whiskey as money. You can use any kind of commodity. You can use iron as money, but it's only worth what iron is worth. You can use gold as money, but it's only really worth what gold is worth to society. That's its value. It's rare and it's hard to come by. It doesn't rust. It will wear away slowly, but it's just a commodity. It's when you start stamping a value on it, saying, this is worth this much because I got a bigger sword than you. That's when you get into trouble. When you coin it. When you just say, here's an ounce of gold. Here's an ounce of silver. Here's a half ounce of gold. And then let the market determine the value. Well, now you got money. But you got stuff posing as money. Spam money. You know, made out of notes. Paper. Paper money. Wow, that's really cool. Romans, they did have a paper money. They had actually a clay money. But their coin was often made out of iron. Not at first. No, just when they started the New Deal, they ended up having to make the money out of base metals. Because, see, they went the same way you're going now. And like I've told people, a sack of wheat went from 6 dimes, 6 denarii, to 120,000 dimes. That's right, 120,000 dimes. $12,000 for a sack of wheat. Amazing. Isn't that amazing? Well, that's what's going to happen in your country because you're going the way of Rome. What we're trying to tell you is turn around and go the other way. Christians were going the other way. Christians not only survived the decline and fall of Rome, they thrived in it. When Athens, which was a democracy, what did they do when they were a democracy? Well, they had a common purse, and they collected the gold, and they made coins out of it, and they put it in their treasury. And people wanted to have that checked and counted now and then, so what they did is they took a certain amount of that gold, and they made it a reserve fund, and they melted it down, and they made a statue out of it. There was a way to do that, with gold leaf pounding it into the statue. And they called it the reserve fund. The statue, as long as the statue was there, everybody knew there was a reserve fund. There was something to fight for. Not for your neighbor, but for the gold in your statue. And during some of their wars, they depleted the gold coin that was back in the treasury so much that they actually had to saw off chunks of the statue in order to finance the army. But they still had the statue. They could still see some of the statue, so they still... You don't have anything. Your Fort Knox doesn't have any statue. And it's not been audited. And you don't know where the gold is at. But you don't even know why gold is valuable. And I'm not telling you to go out and buy gold. You can only buy legal title anyway. You're already surety for debt. What are you going to do about that? You're already eating at the trough of your tribe. You've already waived a right to your labor. You waived a right to your land. You don't even own your car. You don't own anything. You don't own the right to use anything. You're more in bondage, deeper in the mire than they were at the time of Christ. It's worse with you than it was at the time of Christ. What are you going to do about that? I don't know. Well, turn around, seek the kingdom of God. See, one of the things that they did during the Peloponnesian Wars, they built big walls, government projects, big pork barrel government projects with tax money. They built these walls around the city-states to protect them from, you know, attack. You know, it was their equivalent of Star Wars. Or, you know, having this military might. You know, they had their navy and their army, but they had these walls around their city state. Microcosm of what you're doing today. That's why your borders are being protected, but the walls aren't there to keep the foreigners out. Not even there to keep the military forces of the foreigners out. The walls are there to keep you in. You know, it's kind of like the Berlin Wall. We used to watch people escape, when I was a kid, watch people escaping the Berlin Wall. I know guys who, you know, fled through, you know, well, it was waist-deep snow to them. They were little kids, but their parents were there, knee-deep snow, walking through the snow, beating down a trail to help them smuggle out of Soviet-controlled European countries. And they remember the bullets as they snapped, as they went over their heads. You know, they could hear the bullets popping through the cold air as they went over their heads. Because they were shooting at them. And they had to leave. You know, they were escaping like the Berlin Wall. Except they weren't in Berlin. They were in another one of the countries. But now, you've been walled in. You know, like the Magnificent Seven, when Eli Wallach was told that the walls aren't made to keep you out. They're made to keep you in. That's where you're at. And why? Because you're collateral for debt. You're in the treasury. Why are you in there? Because you coveted your neighbor's goods through the agency of government, creating systems of Corbin that take away from your neighbor so that you can have free education. It's really simple. It's not complicated. But anyway, they had their walls too. And they ended up often being trapped inside their walls, starving, eating each other, because they were sieged inside their walls. They went to other city-states before some of these events, where it proved that their walls were not really a good idea. Walling the people in were not really a good idea. It weakened the people. like Sodom and Gomorrah. It weakened the people. So they went to these other city-states, and they went to one of them, like Corinth, and said, you should build a wall too. We got a wall, you should have a wall. And they offered to loan them money at interest, of course. It was a good way of making money. You know, like the World Bank does every day. They've been doing it every day for half a century. We'll loan you money so you can have your civic projects too, you know, like they do in places in Africa. In South America, they build roads out to the middle of nowhere because they got a loan from the World Bank. And now all the people are in debt. The whole countries are in debt. But one of the people, I believe it was the Corinthians, when they said, we will help you build a wall, they turned them down. Other city-states went along with it, went into debt to Athens. But they turned them down and they said, we are our walls. People back then knew how these systems of faith, hope, and charity, these perfect law of liberty, they knew how it worked. It was society taking care of one another because they learned to care about one another. They gathered together in free assemblies, small cell groups. Some places it was 10 families, some places it was 12 families, some places it was 15 families. But it was one of the most common forms of self-government. Leaders were not rulers. They were merely representatives of the will of the people, but the people had the right to choose, the exousia, the liberty of choice. They could choose how much to give in, who to give it to. You tithe to them according to their service. That's government. That's taxation. Nobody takes your tithe. Levites didn't kick in your door and take it away. It was called a free will offering. That's when nations were at liberty. If that's not how you support your government, you are not free. Write it down. You are not a free people. Hard to accept, but that's the reality. Free people get to decide individually what they're going to give and what they're not going to give. Now, today we've built such a society that most people aren't going to give a dang thing. They're not going to give of their time. They're not going to give of money. They're not going to give anything. They think the world owes them a living. They're all a bunch of grasshoppers. You remember the old grasshopper and the ant? They made a little cartoon about that, one of the Disney cartoons, and the grasshopper goes about fiddling and, you know, like foolish virgins singing, oh, the world owes me a living. And I think the same guy did Goofy's voice, did the grasshopper's voice. And then at the end of the cartoon, the ants take him in and they feed him. Of course, the original story is that the ants take him in and they eat him. But that doesn't make for a good cartoon, so they didn't put that in the cartoon. But the original story, that's what happens to the grasshopper, who fiddles away his time, like the foolish virgins. Oh, they don't want to join the church. I don't go to church. Yeah, you do. It's called the United States federal government. That's the church you go to. That's where you go to take care of the needy of your society. That's your religion. The Bible tells you that pure religion is to take care of the needy of your society unspotted by the constitutional order and systems of government. They say, that's what they say. It says the word world there, but the word world there is defined in the concordance as the constitutional order or system of government. It comes from a Greek word, Kamizo, meaning to take care of. So that's how your government owns you. You ask them, you can own me, Pharaoh, if you take care of me. I don't want to be responsible. I don't want to pay for my own education. I don't want to pay for my health care. I don't want to pay for my welfare. I just want to give a little bit You force my neighbor to contribute so that I have a guaranteed Social Security. Because I don't really love my neighbor. I love myself more than I love my neighbor. So I want to make sure I'm taken care of. Yeah, I'll contribute a little bit, but I want to make sure I'm taken care of. And I will give you the power to take from my neighbor. Yeah, you got the power to take from me, but I figure I'm going to come out ahead on the deal. Well, what you're going to come out is in bondage. And that's where you're at. You're in bondage. Because you coveted your neighbor's goods, you have become merchandise, just like Peter said. It's right there in the text. What do you think he's talking about? So what? How do you create institutions that are the reverse of that? You create institutions where the people in your congregations have power to decide over what they give. They decide who they're going to give it to. And that institution takes care of the welfare, but it's free will offerings. This is what the church used to be. So how do you create such institutions now? The church is incorporated to Christ. It's not incorporated to the state. But you still can create institutions. We see this in Acts 6. Institutions that help you take care of as a people. And you do it by creating institutions where you empower individuals within every congregation to perform services to the congregation and conventions of congregations. In other words, the network of congregations. This is what the early church was doing. They were looking out amongst themselves. They were picking men that they trusted. Friends often. And they were giving them the right to decide how to spend this money that I'm going to contribute according to the perfect law of liberty by a free will offering in hope that it comes back to me if I ever have a need. But I come together in my church to serve my fellow man because I love my fellow man as much as I love myself. Simple. It is simple. Fact is, you can create such institutions right today. We can train you how to do it. You can join the Living Network, and we will start training you how to do it. But you got to do it. And is it going to take extra time? You bet. But I tell you, if you really do what the early church was doing, you will have something to sing about. You will learn to harmonize as a people instead of just give the lip service that you're giving now in your local churches. We've actually done an extensive study on how that you can organize yourselves in these free will assemblies based on what the early church was doing, and we show you what the early church was doing, what Israel was doing, the real Israel. I can't tell you what they do in Paris, France, although we actually have one of the participants in a congregation. We try to stay away from members of a congregation because they're not really members. They're participators. You know, they're free assemblers. They're an intentional community. But one of them actually is over in Paris, France. And they took the books and they put them in a little local library there. They work in kind of a food kitchen in France, you know, a volunteer food kitchen in France. And I guess, you know, I didn't quite figure it out. I just got a postcard the other day, but they were saying that they gave some of the books into the library. And I don't know if it's a public library, it's a little library that goes along with the food kitchen or what it is. But anyway, they were back in France and they were going to check and see how the books and who might be taking out the books. And what are the books? The Covenants of the Gods. It shows you how you have made covenants with the gods where you live. And now they can exercise authority over you. And the reason you made those covenants is to obtain benefits at the expense of your neighbor. So therefore, you have now become collateral surety for debt and merchandise. We already talked about that. And we show you in 15 chapters the many different ways you can do that, and even your church can do that by incorporating. As soon as you incorporate, you're no longer the body of Christ. You're the body of the state. You don't have to incorporate, and the state even says you don't have to incorporate to be a church. But if you incorporate, it says that all other previous incorporation, corpus of Christ, is null and void, as if it never happened. You're now a religious institution, but you're an institution of their religion. What's religion again? Religion is how you take care of the needy of your society. See, you keep slipping back into those definitions where you think religion is what you think about God. No, religion is even the word threskia in the Greek. It's what you do. And Jesus says, I want to take the kingdom away from you, Pharisees, because of what you do and what you don't do, which is to bear fruit. What is that fruit? Liberty under God, which is the kingdom of God, the right to be ruled by God. You don't have that right. You're ruled by men like Nimrod and Cain and Pharaoh and Caesar. Why? Because you sat and ate at their table with a great appetite. You didn't do what Proverbs says, put a knife to your throat when you sit and eat with a ruler. You went and eat with a ruler and you say, hey, give me more. I want more benefits. Give me more benefits. You know, of course, we're going to have to take some more away from your neighbor in order to give you these more benefits. Yeah, I don't care. Give me more benefits. Take from my neighbor. You should be slaves. You should be under tribute. You slothful, self-righteous bum. You should be under tribute. Now, you want me to say nice things about you? Start doing nice things. Maybe we shouldn't even use the word nice, but start loving one another. Gather together with the intention of serving one another. Don't just keep listening on the radio thinking, well, I'll know more about God because I'm listening to Brother Gregory. You're not going to know anything about God by listening to me. You got to start listening to him. What does it say in Old and New Testament? Does it say, I will write my laws upon a book and I will send you men who will tell you what to do and you better do it? Is that what it says? No, it says, I will write my laws upon their hearts and upon their minds and they will be my people. And you see, that's belief as a conviction. Do you believe in Christ enough to live by faith, hope, and charity? You got into this mess by contract. You get out the same way. What you bind on earth is bound in heaven. What you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. You want to get loose? Loose your neighbor. Set your neighbor free from your wantonness. Set up a system where you do not need to go to the benefactors who exercise authority one over the other. Can you do that? Anyway, go to the website and find out how to meet with us, how to learn, how to study these things, and we will teach you how to seek the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Next time, peace on your house. God bless.
You have been listening to The Keys of the Kingdom with Brother Gregory of His Holy Church. For more information on the educational ministry provided by His Holy Church and Brother Gregory, including services, counseling, lectures, books, and other audio materials, please write to His Church at Summer Lake, Box 10, Summer Lake, Oregon, 97640. You can also find us on the web at www.hisholychurch.net.